Well, everybody, welcome to episode 176 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his stories through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand to make Coldwell Banker the number one real estate company here in Central Iowa. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of girls soccer tonight, and my first guest is the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial Squad. His team opened the season last night with a 10-0 win over Marshalltown. He is Chris Allen. Chris, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Doing well, Dan. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for all the coverage of the local sports. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you bet. Well, that was certainly a nice way for you guys to open the season. You know, when you dominate a game like that, I don't know if you can learn a whole lot about your team, but, you know, do you feel like you know some things about your team now that you didn't 24 hours ago?
Yeah, you know, we didn't really have an opportunity to – I mean, we probably could have gotten a jamboree or a scrimmage in prior to that game, but we didn't seize that opportunity. We kind of lost the first week of practice to spring break, and then you spent another day having a tryout or so. And so we really put off some of those things and elected to not scrimmage this year. So it was a good chance to get out there. You know, Marshalltown is a team that's grown from last year, and we're a team that's pretty new from last year. And so, yeah, we definitely learned things even in the game that turns out that way. We learned about attitude. You know, were the girls able to maintain a high expectation for themselves? We learned about, you know, what does support look like? We had kids who were invested from the sideline. You know, there was a group of girls that I was getting warmed up to send in the second half, and they stopped to cheer on their teammates and forgot to check into the line. It's like, no, I want you on the field. So had to push them on. And so I think we do have an opportunity to learn in just about any experience. Hopefully the same can be said for Marshalltown. And even though the result didn't go their way and they were on the side of the mercy rule, hopefully they can take something away from that as well.
Well, Alana Pennington led your team with 4 goals, including a hat trick in the first half alone. Now, last year, she was certainly a key player for you guys. She had 9 goals and 3 assists in 21 games. So do you look for her to be a pretty prolific scorer this year?
Yeah. You know, I think if she's in the right spot, depending on the tactics, that she's going to have the ability to put the ball away. We'll probably also rely on her to provide some defensive support. So she might be withdrawn from the goal during some games. She's playing with more confidence this season, and so I do think the team will expect her to be a big contributor.
Well, you guys got contributions from a lot of players last night. Katie Compton had 3 assists. McKenna Hilton had 1 goal and 2 assists off the bench. Izzy Sash had a pair of goals, and Ella Hudacek added 2 assists. So you guys, you know, did a nice job of spreading the ball around, didn't you?
Yeah, I think that's something else we learned is that you know, they're going to be a team that is going to look for the best opportunities. I mean, there was even some situations where they probably passed up a shot to make a pass. And so, you know, we'll look at that on film and we'll talk about, you know, the choices that we can make in those scenarios. But we were certainly seeing a lot of players step up and make contributions, not only on the stat line, but just all over the field and how they were winning balls in the air and looking to find some dangerous opportunities for their teammates to exploit.
Well, it's definitely a cold and windy night, but I know the wind wasn't, you know, as bad as it was earlier in the evening, but, you know, the conditions were still a factor, weren't they?
Yeah, in terms of the weather, it was still no fun. Even if the wind died down, it wasn't dramatic that it died down. And, of course, the temperatures go up the further away we get from sunset. So, you know, in those aspects, it's not fun to be out there shivering the entire time, and it was certainly a factor. But I think the girls really focused on the controllables, and hopefully that's a piece of our team this season is that we control the controllables. I know that may have become somewhat of a cliche statement, but I really do think there's power in that. It's something that Elizabeth Overberg would preach last year with the team, and it's something that in our leadership study that we really talked about as well, is what can we control and what can we approach What can we just leave behind as we approach the game and as we approach training?
Well, you played 2 goalkeepers in the game, Kate Bergen and Tegan Hall, and neither one of them had to make a save. And I know you told me, you know, last week what a great job of leadership that Tegan was doing. So do you expect to play, you know, both those kids a lot, you know, in games this year?
Yeah, I think we'll expect to get them on the field when the opportunity shows. I think both are working extremely hard and growing in practice. You know, Tegan is, she's both a unique and great leader. You know, one of the things that we do in the program is we hand out an honorary captain's band for the week. And we talked about whether we wanted to continue that or not. The leadership team really felt like it was something important to continue. But also in the leadership group, they talk about, you know, they want to make sure that everybody on the team has a voice. And they don't want, you know, the freshmen coming in and kind of being anxious and scared about the situation of playing with some of the older girls on the team. And then Tegan, she's the only captain we have right now. But she has been that responsibility to select a player to join her in that, you know, in that identified leadership falls to her. And Monday or Tuesday before the game, she announced that Madison Belashitis, who's a freshman, would wear the other captain's band. And I thought that was a really unique move. I'm totally supportive of it. She had great reasons for naming Madison as a captain. She didn't do it in a way that offended players that have been around the program longer. And I just, you know, her approach to this leadership role is it's creative and it's unique. And I look forward to seeing what she continues to do for us.
Well, your team will co-host the Crosstown Invitational with Ankeny this weekend. You'll host Council Bluffs Lincoln on Friday and Waukee on Saturday. You know, and you should find out a lot more about your team, you know, in these two games, I guess, because, you know, you're probably going to be challenged a lot more than you were last night.
Yeah. And I don't want to discredit Marshalltown by looking at what's going to go on with these teams, but, you know, Marshalltown is still developing. They returned a lot of players. And so, but moving on to that game, yeah, we expected a different challenge coming into this weekend. Friday, Council Bluffs, Abraham Lincoln, you know, on paper, they seem to boast a pretty strong squad. I know the coach is really proud of them and what they might be able to accomplish this season. So I think, you know, they have expectations to make it into the state tournament and compete for state titles. And so that will be a good challenge for us for a team that comes in with those high expectations and seeing how we can handle that. The problems that they pose for us. They seem to be really well organized, especially defensively, and then have some attacking threats as well.
All right. Well, this is obviously a new tournament. You know, how did this tournament come about?
So I was kicking this tournament around with Dan Birch when he was at Ankeny. You know, we have three turf facilities here in town, and we were often looking to, whether it was going to Urbandale or running out to Council Bluffs, just looking for some tournaments to play in. And it just seemed like it would be a good idea to host a tournament here. And the vision for it is actually even bigger than what it is right now. You know, we hosted the Minnesota-Nebraska spring game one season, and we were actually, as a team, we were away in Council Bluffs, and we came back to catch the tail end of that game at Centennial Stadium. And the original dream was to have this tournament, a Friday, Saturday night tournament, and then on top of that, have two collegiate teams come and play on our field. So not only did we want college coaches to come watch some of the best players in Iowa, but then we wanted our kids to turn around and be able to watch some of the collegiate programs that recruit them. Unfortunately, we've got to really be on top of things because, you know, the spring schedules get set, you know, much earlier than some of the things that we are working out for the high school season. So we weren't able to arrange anything along those lines this year, but I think in the first year of the tournament, we did plan on hosting a collegiate team on top of everything, but then the pandemic intervened. But then we pulled it off last year. The weather wasn't great, and we had a lot of teams kind of back out last minute last year, so it wasn't as organized as we had hoped it would be. So we got a little bit more probably exclusive this year in terms of what we're going to do. We wanted teams to commit. If they were going to come down, they were going to come down for one game on Friday and one game on Saturday, because we wanted kids to have a rest between games. And even though it's not a two-day rest or anything like that, at least they could have a recovery between games instead of playing back-to-back. We wanted teams to play 40-minute halves. Often when you go into tournaments, it's 30-minute halves because they're trying to pile in a lot of games. And I don't really like those games that are only 60 minutes, because I feel like there's so much more that can be accomplished in a little bit longer game, especially if your style of play is a little bit slowly building into the game.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of set that expectation too, that we would be playing 80-minute full games for the tournament. And then the other expectation was that, you know, if you're going to play us, you'll play Ankeny. So you'll see that Waukee matches up against Ankeny on Friday night and then turns around and plays us on Saturday. Council Bluffs Abraham Lincoln plays us on Friday night and does the same for Ankeny on Saturday. And then on the other end, we have Waukee Northwest and Valley doing that with Kennedy and Pleasant Valley coming in and exchanging opponents. So it's a really early invitational that will give us an opportunity to see some of the powerhouses play one another early in the season. And we know things will change by the end of the season, but it's a good test right at the start of the season.
Well, yeah, those are certainly some high quality teams. And I think I read somewhere that there's going to be like 20 college teams here to look at players. Is that about the right number?
Yeah, and I've got to give Simon credit for that because he's far better connected to the collegiate world than I am. I know a few coaches, but Simon lives and breathes soccer, and so we wanted to showcase our kids as a part of this, and so he started reaching out and he put a form together and sent it out to the collegiate coaches in the area and said, hey, we want to know if you're coming, if we can expect you, and we want to make sure you feel welcome in our stadiums, watching our kids, and make sure you have all the details. He's put together some programs for those coaches as they come in. So I think that's another exciting element of this, is that we're really proud of Iowa High School girls soccer, and it's an opportunity to show what we're proud of, showcase what we're proud of to these collegiate coaches. We do have a lot of kids from our programs go on and have successful careers at the next level. They develop through their clubs, they come out and play for us, and continue to develop in our programs, and so it's an opportunity to really highlight that.
Well, I'll be talking to Simon here in a little bit, so I'll get some more information from him about that. The last thing I wanted to ask you about is, of course, on May 3rd, you'll have your annual game against Ankeny, and there's the Pack the Pitch effort going on to break the single game attendance record of 7,342 that night. When did you first hear about this effort, and do you think that's a mark that can be broken?
Two questions. Yeah, the first time I heard about this was earlier in the actually late fall. It would kind of pass through. I was included maybe on a second email that had been kind of forwarded through to our activities departments, and it was definitely an interesting idea. And of course, as a coach, I'm a little bit nervous about that, because that game comes with a lot of emotion anyway, and half the strategy of that game is just making sure that the kids can treat it like just any other soccer game. But at the same time, it does seem like it could be realistic. Ankeny community has the ability to turn out and show up for something. I think if you look at the success of the programs, We're on the girls' side, especially, we're competing for state championships. The run between 2010 and 2021 has been pretty incredible for both schools. The boys' side, 2007 state championship, and then both Centennial and the Hawks are definitely incredibly strong programs right now. So I think it's an opportunity to showcase to not only the Ankeny community but surrounding areas. Just the hard work and the dedication to the sport of the players that are in our programs. And I think it's an exciting atmosphere. I think back to 2018 when we played Ankeny in the state championship, and just how packed that facility was for that game. I think if I can get past the oh no, this is going to make, there's going to be more pomp and circumstance for this, and my job is to kind of calm everybody down. I think it's a neat opportunity, and some of these kids will never have the chance to play in front of a crowd that big again, even if they do go on to play in college.
Right, right. Well, it should be a fun night, and it should be a fun and exciting season. I'm looking forward to it. Well, hey, Chris, thanks a lot for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it, and good luck this season.
I appreciate it as well, Dan. And again, thank you for all the continued coverage through you and Ankeny Fanatic. Just love what you do for us.
You bet. Thanks, Chris.
Bye-bye.
All right, well, my next guest is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and we're glad to have her here in the office tonight. She is Tiffany Rummelhart. Tiffany, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, I just want to talk a little bit of real estate with you right now. I know you guys still have some affordable lots left in Prairie Trail, don't you?
We do. We have 7 lots left in the Precedence West development. Those are all along Southwest Vintage, just not far from the district. You can walk to the district, to all the shops and the dining and all that good stuff. So all of those lots that we have, those 7 lots, they start at $48,500. So very reasonable price for lots. And they're all tied to a custom home build with MJ Properties.
Do you have a lot of people interested in looking at those, you know, these days?
We do. There aren't a lot of lots in the Ankeny area at that price. So we do get a lot of calls on those lots. People love the area because it is close to interstate access. It's close, again, to the district. Pretty much everything that you want in that area. So we do have a lot of interest in those lots.
Well, we had Ron Sampson in here a couple weeks ago, and he was telling us that, you know, home prices are still high, but homes are just still selling like crazy, aren't they?
Oh my gosh, it's incredible. I was just having a conversation with someone this morning, and we were both going back and forth on how it's just so unbelievable about the homes that are still selling, the prices that homes are selling for, but there's still a lot of interest. There's a lot of buyers out there. So yeah, it is a interesting market.
Well, of course, this time of year, a lot of people are doing their taxes. Now, unfortunately, I was not one of the people that got a refund. I had to pay a big tax bill, so I'm not in this situation. But I know a lot of people do get a nice refund this time of year. So that's something that they could maybe put down towards a house, couldn't they?
Absolutely. That's a very good thing, a great investment to go towards either it's first-time home purchase or maybe you are looking to build, you know, something to invest your money in. Properties are always a good investment for sure.
Well, before I came over here tonight, I just happened to be reading an article online about how, you know, the home prices have soared to new heights, you know, across the country, and that some economists feel like, you know, that these could be signs that we're heading towards a housing bubble. Do you think there's a chance that, you know, that could happen?
You know, it's so hard to say. I think it depends on who you talk to. One article you read or one person you talk to says one thing, and then the next time you're getting maybe conflicting information. But it's just such a hard market right now to read.
Well, the way these prices are soaring, I mean, they just can't keep going up like this forever, can they?
I hope not. I really hope not for everyone's sake, quite honestly. But I think I'm hoping in the near future we'll start to see either it level out or start coming down a little bit. I know we kind of experienced the same thing last year where material prices just spiked incredibly, and then they did come back down, and now we're kind of back in that same boat at the top of that height of it all right now. So I don't know, fingers crossed that we start to see a decline in some of these costs.
Well, if anybody's interested in taking a look at those lots there at Prairie Trail, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Yeah, certainly. They can get a hold of me either on my phone number, 515-669-2037, or they're welcome to email me as well at tiffany.rummelhart@cbdsm.com.
All right, Tiffany. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, remodel, or an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. They have over 60 years in the mortgage industry with security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my next guest is the head coach of the Ankeny girls soccer team, and his team will open the season this weekend by co-hosting the Crosstown Invitational with Ankeny Centennial. He is Simon Brown. Simon, thanks for joining me. How
are
you doing?
Good, Dan. How are you? I'm sorry, I'm a bit under the weather, and I've just got done with practice, so I might sound a little bit raspy for the listeners.
Oh, totally understandable. Yeah, that weather out there, it's kind of nasty, isn't it?
I know, yeah. Used to it now.
Well, we've had a pretty long stretch here, you know, of cold and windy weather. Have you guys been able to get some things accomplished at practice?
Yeah, I mean, we got killed a bit by the state by making us go a week early, so it feels like we're these last 2 weeks have been hectic trying to get everything together. And I know that there's been other teams. I know Centennial played last night, and just I don't know how some teams have played. Just doesn't feel like we're ready, just because we lost a week. But you know, it's probably just the coach in me that wants to over prepare and get everything sorted for the season. But yeah, it's crazy that it's come on so quick, and there's teams playing games already.
Well, your team will host Waukee on Friday, and then Council Bluffs Lincoln on Saturday. You know, so hopefully the conditions will be a little bit better. Sounds like the weather's supposed to warm up a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean it'll be the same for both teams. But yeah, it's. I'm excited to just play and get the girls to see. We had the Jamboree on Friday, and we got to see some things. It's tough because it's only a 40-minute game. But, yeah, hopefully the girls are ready and be able to put in some of the things that we've been working on the last couple of weeks. So,
well, of course, the game against Waukee will be a rematch of last year's Class 3A semifinal. And of course, this year, Waukee split into two schools with the opening of Northwest. So do you know if very many of the Waukee girls are back this year?
I know a couple of the new girls that have came in just because I used to coach them on ODP. So I know the couple of the freshman girls that have gone in. So other than that, I don't really know a lot about them. Honestly, Dan, I've spent just so much time worrying about ourselves since we lost a week that I haven't had a lot of time to, you know, dig into other people's rosters and teams and tactics and stuff like that. Yeah, it'll take us a couple of weeks to get there.
Well, I talked earlier with Coach Allen about the Crosstown Invitational, and he told me that there's supposed to be about 20 college teams here to take a look at, you know, some of your players, you know, as they're playing. I mean, so yeah, it should be a fun weekend, huh?
Yeah, we've been working on this for a couple of years. You know, Coach Allen and myself, we kind of, when I took over, we flirted with the idea of hosting our tournament because there was one weekend where we were playing in Bettendorf against PV in Bettendorf, and he was in Council Bluffs playing Council Bluffs and another team, and I was like, why are we going either side of the state when we have all the facilities in town and we have some of the best teams in state and everybody wants to come here? So like, let's just get the ball rolling on our own tournament, and lucky enough to get some quality teams in. And then just through emailing the surrounding states, we got like 20 schools and 40 coaches are coming out this weekend to recruit the girls, which is great for them because, you know, it's an extra recruiting opportunity for the girls that missed the COVID stuff. So again, yeah, just a different opportunity, and I know the coaches are excited because they don't normally get to see the kids this early in the season. They normally have to wait till Burlington or the state tournament in June. So yeah, something different that we're excited to get started.
Well, now you've got a few girls that have already committed to play at various colleges, but yeah, I imagine you got several more that could really benefit from a tournament like this.
Yeah, and honestly, not just us, you know, like if it's Centennial and then the other six teams that are coming here too, you know, there's over 100 kids that are going to get to play this weekend that, like I said, may not have been seen. So, you know, if we get a couple of kids that recruited from this tournament that wouldn't have gotten opportunity, then, you know, we've done our job. So I think that's really important for the other kids, and that'll draw the next year when we do the invitations again. You know, teams will be snapping our hands off to come in, and then maybe we can expand it to 12 teams. And I think the idea is to get it where we're both hosting games, and then there's a break in the middle where there's a college game at the big stadium. So I know Coach Allen had Minnesota and Nebraska play each other before, so that's kind of, you know, the big plan, something different in high school that we haven't really seen before. So that's kind of the idea that we're rolling with, yeah.
Well, I know Valley's going to be one of the teams that's here, and you guys won't be playing them, but they're going to be here along with some other really good teams. And I haven't seen any preseason rankings yet. I don't think they're out yet. But do you think Valley, with what they have coming back, do you think they'd be the number one team going into the season?
I mean, yeah, I'd say they'd be disappointed if they weren't. Just for her, they've brought back pretty much everybody, so they're stacked again. So they'll definitely be one of the top teams. So, yeah, that would be very surprising if they weren't number one. So that's what I think.
Well, I know Centennial will get a chance to play Valley this year in a couple of weeks, but they're not on your schedule. I mean, is that a team that you would have liked to have played sometime?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we dodge each other, but since I've been here, it's never just been put in the same pod. And I asked, by the time I asked Andy the time to schedule, both Urbandale and Valley were full. Hmm. So, I mean, we'll knock on everybody's door for a game, so... I know in the past we've played like PV and Bettendorf, we've gone up and played there, and it just worked out for us to play Council Bluffs to come in. So we got Waukee, so we got two top 10 teams. It's just for some reason us and Valley don't really, we kind of wait for the postseason to duke it out.
Well, I'm sure you'd love to see them, you know, down at County again this year.
Yeah, I mean that's the dream. We just got to get there, and if the stars align, then it does. But yeah.
We have an experienced team this season with 8 returning starters, led by a couple of All-Staters in Eden Gibson and Kennedy Mackey, who are both going to Minnesota State to Mankato to play. So, I mean, it's got to be pretty comforting for you to know that you have, you know, those two girls on the field. I mean, they're almost coaches on the field at this point, aren't they?
Yeah, so they started when I started. So I'm basically going into my senior year too. So it's 4 years together. And, you know, those kids, they've retained so much. Like, we're so lucky with us losing the week. For me, it's very fortunate because selfishly, I have 8 girls that played in the game last year, and then a bunch of other girls that were on the roster that know the set pieces, know the way I play, know like, okay, like this is what we're doing at practice, this is how it's set up. So it's not a massive learning curve. Like last year, we had loads of new kids because of the COVID year. It took so much time to formation and players and everything. But this year, it's been nice. And again, I'll never feel like I'm ready till the game starts on Friday until you know, we win our first game and all that stuff. So it's good to have those kids here and to have that bit of retention from last year with everything. So yeah.
Well, that much experience back, I mean, you probably have a pretty good idea, you know, of what you're going to see on Friday night, but are there any areas of the field where maybe you're just a little not sure what you're going to see yet?
Yeah, I mean, we spent all last week working on the defensive side of things, and then we went to play Urbandale, and it was kind of just they did what they wanted as far as attacking, so we won the ball though. So I was only really concerned about what we did when we didn't have the ball. And then this week is probably going to look more of our transition. So how are we going to get the ball forward? And then when we're attacking, so if we're attacking a team that's sitting a little bit deeper, so how are we going to break them down and be the aggressor in games? And I think that goes with it. So like it's been that's the way we thought we'd break up the 2 weeks, and it's worked out like that. So yeah.
Well, I see that you have three freshmen on your varsity roster, Sophie Leffler, Allie Mackey, and Cameron Dietz. And I wouldn't think you'd have them on the varsity unless you thought that they could help you. So do you expect those three kids, you know, to make a pretty big impact?
Yeah, and we normally have a couple on there. And it's really important just for the longevity of the program and the team. You know, it was the same thing with Kennedy, Eden, and Brooke. They were the three girls that were in there. And then they all played in the final in 2019. They didn't start, but a couple of minutes here and there, you know, it carries a lot into the following year. So we need those kids, we need those experience, but absolutely they can help us. And Ali's probably going to start on Friday, and the other two will definitely impact the game.
Well, I haven't seen Ali on the soccer field yet, but she's obviously a great runner. She, you know, had a great cross country season last fall, and she'll be running track as well this spring. So for kids like that are doing the two sports, I mean, do you have to be a little bit careful with, you know, how much work you make them do?
Yeah, I mean, I started planning in December with Coach Cotter with his schedule about what it would look like with days. So there's specific days where we know that we're not going to have them at soccer, and the specific days where they're going to be at track. And then we just have to make it work. We just have to manage them because the kids want to do both, and the school support us, so we have to support that. They're good at soccer, so we want them there. They're good at track, so Coach Connor wants them there. It's just trying to find the right balance and not burning out the kids, because that's the main thing. We just don't want them to go from track practice and do a bunch of sprints and come to soccer and do the same thing, and then they're dead for the game and the track meet. So just trying to balance them.
Right. Well, you guys are going to have your annual battle against Ankeny Centennial on May 3rd. And, of course, there's this effort going on to pack the pitch that night and to break the single game soccer attendance record here in Iowa of 73-42. What did you think when you first heard about this idea to try to break that record?
Yeah, I honestly, when they said it, because we didn't know anything about it, and then a couple of people, they had meetings, and I think they were trying to not get the coaches as involved to stress us out on the game. And I think that was the main thing they said in the initial email to us was, we don't want to distract you guys anything from the game, because the occasion's already really big enough for the kids. Right. And then now you're adding in 7,000, 8,000 people, whatever it is. So it's exciting. And it just shows how important soccer is in this community. It shows how good the four teams are that are going to be competing that day. It'll be a battle and to play in front of the whole school, and hopefully a lot of people from the town will come. And I know that the marketing campaign is pretty broad, so they're knocking a lot of doors, so I think they'll get a lot of people here.
Well, yeah, it should be a fun night. Just wanted to ask you one other thing, Simon. I know you coach the men down at William Penn as well, and of course you guys play a fall season down there, but I assume in the off season you still have to, you know, do some workouts with the boys down there.
Yep.
So do you spend much time in the spring down in Oskaloosa?
Yeah, so I work there during the day. So this 3 weeks is always crossover, so I've been burning at both ends. So Friday we play Waukee with the girls, Saturday we play Council Bluffs, Sunday my men play Drake at County. Monday we're off, and then Tuesday we play Southeast Polk. So it's trying to balance that. So I have a great staff down there that the strength coaches work with them Mondays, Tuesdays. Wednesdays we practice, so we practice there at 3:15. I drove up here for 6 o'clock practice. Tomorrow, Ankeny will practice at 6 a.m., and then William Penn will practice at 3, and then Friday, William Penn will practice at 6, and then I'm up here for the game. So, yeah, it's crazy, and you know what? I was speaking to one of my old coaches, and he was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, yeah, I love the structure, because when it's December and there's nothing to do and you're waking up at 10 o'clock, it's like, this is boring.
Yeah.
This is great here when you're bouncing from one from another, and it's just constant games, and yeah, I love it, and my girlfriend doesn't love it at times. She wishes I was home some more, so we got to find, it's her birthday this weekend, so
oh, wow.
Saturday I got to find some time to go out with her, and so we got to manage all those things. So yeah, I don't get a lot of sleep right now. That's probably why I'm a bit under the weather, just burning at both ends. But yeah, I love it. I love working with the kids here. I love to work at William Penn, so yeah.
Well, you're a busy guy, so I really appreciate you taking the time to stop by here tonight. So hey, good luck this season, Simon.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways To elevate your customer experience and exceed your expectations, our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, my final guest tonight is the activities director at Ankeny High School. He is Andy Umpthen. Andy, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Oh, good, Dan. Thanks for having me tonight.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we look ahead to the spring sports, I just want to touch briefly on the winter sports. I mean, what a great winter you guys had. I mean, the basketball team, boys basketball team made it back to state. The girls came within a last second shot of going to state. You know, the wrestlers made it to state duels and had another high finish at state. I mean, you guys had a great winter, didn't you?
You know what? We really did. You know, and that's kudos to our coaches, our staff, our kids. You know, they've worked hard and really made some great progress. You know, Drew McAnally really sticks out to me as somebody that's really, you know, kind of had a challenging situation when he first took over that program, but really he's got it competitive, you know, night after night. And, you know, obviously Coach Carlson getting our boys back to state again was a great way to, you know, get things. Obviously, I think we were kind of hoping we'd make a little bit of a run, but, you know, that's the way it goes. And then Coach Wignall with our wrestling program, per usual, does a great job, you know, with getting a sixth place finish at state duels and finishing high again in a traditional tournament. And, you know, boys swimming and bowling too, you know, Lane's, you know, working on rebuilding that. And, you know, Coach Crouch has done a nice job with our boys. So, yeah, it's just it's hard to complain about what we got going right now. A lot of great things.
Well, of course, with the spring sports, we've already had some spring events canceled this week, but, you know, that's nothing new. It seems like we deal with this every year, don't we?
It is. You know, that's spring for you. Spring's always a challenging season, not necessarily because of the amount of events, but probably the amount of reschedules, you know, with seven sports going on at once, with boys and girls tennis, soccer, and track, and then throw girls golf in there. And, you know, they're all dependent on the weather and weather-sensitive activities. So, but that's the name of the game in the spring.
Well, once all these teams actually start playing, I know this is my busiest time of the year, but I'm sure it is for you too, isn't it?
You know what it really is? There is a lot going on. I mean, you know, soccer's going to have a couple matches a week. So is tennis. You know, track's going to be running a couple days a week. And, you know, anybody that's helped work a track meet before knows it takes a village to make a track meet run successfully. So, you know, we'll have our first one coming up, or we'll host our girls meet on next Thursday the 7th. And, you know, we'll get an opportunity to host the Fred Smith, 63rd annual Fred Smith on the 19th. So those always come up, and we're hosting our girls soccer crosstown invites this Friday and Saturday at our place as well as Centennial. So eventually this weather will cooperate and we'll get some of our events in.
Well, yeah, and the spring season goes by so fast that, I mean, if you have too many events canceled, you almost can't reschedule them all because they just butt up against each other then,
right,
don't they?
Right, and, you know, and that's why it's always disheartening to start a spring like this. You know, we're supposed to play Fort Dodge and tennis tomorrow, and I'm not overly optimistic that that's going to work in our favor. And so, you know, another week or two of this and we'll have things really log jammed up. But, you know, just like anybody, you know, the great ones adapt, and our coaches will do a great job of making the best of the situations as they come up.
Well, I want to get your thoughts on a few different things tonight. You touched on the Crosstown Invitational, the girls' soccer tournament this weekend, and I talked to both coaches earlier tonight. And I guess this tournament was kind of an idea that the coaches had, and they kind of brought that to you. Is that right?
It really was, you know, and they brought it to Jarvis and I when Jarvis was AD at Centennial. And, you know, we liked the idea. We thought we'd see what the interest level would be, and it's really been received well. We get some good teams, and really the nice part about it is we get to play some teams that maybe – would have an impact for us in the positive way, you know, when it comes to seedings for state. I know we'll have Council Bluffs AL at our place facing the Hawkettes on Saturday. And so just getting some of those non-traditional matchups, you know, having Pleasant Valley down here playing a couple of CIML schools. And, yeah, I just think it'll be a good opportunity. And, you know, we're going to play Waukee. They're not on our conference schedule this year, but we'll get to play them on Friday. And, yeah, I think it's been well received. Our coaches did a great job kind of leading the charge on it. And, you know, when you got good coaches like we have both at our place and Centennial, it just makes things run so much more smoothly when they take the initiative on things like this. And it's easy to support an idea like this when, especially as successful as it's been the last couple. So,
well, it sounds like the weather's going to be a little bit better this weekend.
It is. So that's the other positive. It looks like 50s on Friday, and maybe it'll crack into the 60s on Saturday. So that's another positive.
Well, you mentioned the good coaches that both you guys and Centennial have. I mean, especially here in the spring, I mean, on some of these nights, I mean, there could be 8 to 10 different events going on around town. I mean, you can't be everywhere. I mean, you kind of got to rely on the coaches to set up some of the things, right?
I mean, you know, they're asked to do a lot, you know, especially, you know, tennis and golf are two that really kind of own their worlds a little bit. And, you know, luckily, I we both got some good staffs. You know, Ann Smith, who took over for Randy this past year, but Centennial's done a great job this year kind of managing and spearheading some of the setup and those type of things. Obviously, you know, Tom Day at my end and utilizing our 8980s too, Holly and Mike, really kind of is what makes all this feasible because, yeah, I mean, on a given night, there could be 4+ events that we're hosting all at once. And, you know, I'd like to be everywhere at once, but, you know, as you know, that's not always feasible. And then you sprinkle in some band and choir and some other events. We'll host a couple rugby events. And, yeah, spring's always – it's a fun but busy time for sure.
Well, of course, on May 3rd, we're going to have the annual soccer games between Ankeny and Centennial. And there's been an effort underway already to break the soccer attendance record that night of 7,342. When did you first hear about, you know, this effort to break that record? What did you think of it?
You know, I thought it was a great idea. It's a lofty goal. But I the first thing that comes to mind is, man, I would love to make this a reality for our kids. I just think about, you know, our soccer teams on both sides, boys and girls, you know, the potential opportunity to play in front of over 7,000 fans, something I feel like they deserve. You know, obviously that's a pretty typical crowd on a Friday night football game here in Ankeny. And, you know, I would just love to make that happen. I think our student sections, you know, have already kind of gotten in the mix a little bit. And we're talking to some of our, you know, band and cheer and seeing if we can get some other outside groups involved in this day as well, some of the youth feeder programs. It's just an opportunity to really showcase some really high quality soccer programs, both ours and Centennial's, and for them to be able to play in front of a large crowd, you know, and I'm excited about the potential opportunity. And I think we've had some really good help from outside, from some parents and just soccer supporters in general to really try to make this a reality. And so I'm really hoping that between their efforts, our coaches' efforts, our kids, that we can make this a reality for our programs.
Well, yeah, I don't think any of the rankings are out yet, but I'm guessing that those four teams are all going to be top 10 teams this season.
But by the time we play May 3rd, I got to think that there will be some playoff seeding implications on the line for that game as well, which will just add to the excitement come May 3rd, which I know will sneak up on us.
Well, yeah, just for comparison's sake, I mean, you talked about the attendance at a football game. I mean, for like a typical Jaghawk football game, is that about what they get for those games?
Oh, I'd say it's probably even more than that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think on a given night, we're talking 9,000 plus, you know, at a football game where we're playing each other. And, you know, and our programs have been very competitive the last few years, especially, and been back and forth. And, you know, ever since I've been here, I know we lost to Centennial in overtime my first year, and, you know, we got them in 20, and then they got us this year. And so it's just that fun rivalry back and forth. But, yeah, it's I think it's easily doable to have a crowd like this, and, you know, we get great turnouts in the fall. And I think weather always will play as a factor in these types of things, and so I really hope the weather will cooperate for our kids to really help ensure a great crowd, and obviously playing at our community stadium is only going to help give the capacity for that.
Well, I talked with Kevin Walsh last week, who's kind of the driving force, you know, behind this effort, and he mentioned that there'd be some incentives for fans to come out that night. I think the Des Moines Mass are going to give away some tickets, and there might be some discounted tickets as well, right?
There is, yeah, absolutely, and I think we're going to try to, and we're still working on this, what it looks like, but some incentives for students. You know, I think, you know, obviously we rely heavily on our revenue at events to pay for needs through our athletic programs, but I think this might be one of those events where we're going to do some things so that, you know, we're more interested in getting fans in the stands for this type of event over maybe the max revenue that we, you know, try to do, especially for a crosstown rival like this. But, yeah, Kevin's done a great job spearheading this. I know Mrs. Harrington, one of our soccer moms, has done a great job getting involved with this too. And, yeah, I just think I think a lot of people got some hands in on this to really make this a reality.
Also wanted to ask you about the annual Iowa High School Athletic Directors Convention, which was just held the last few days in Coralville, right?
It was, absolutely.
And I know North UAD Holly Anderson, you mentioned her a few minutes ago, was named the Middle School Athletic Director of the Year. I mean, what a nice honor for her.
So much so, and so deserving. You know, she's done a great job here over the years. I mean, she was involved in the process of the splitting into Northview, Southview Middle Schools, and for her to get recognized by our peers as ADs, it was an honor for me just to, you know, to work with Holly and to see her get that award at the state AD convention this past few days. And, you know, that's a great event where we're able to get together, collaborate, you know, teach a variety of classes, learn from one another, because there's a lot of great ADs here in the state of Iowa, and just a great resource for all of us. And, you know, Mike Holly and Ann Smith, we were all there, and, you know, I think we all got a lot out of it the last day. But like I said, it's just great to honor somebody like Holly, who's done such a great job with that role that she has.
Well, I believe there were 6 new inductees into the Athletic Directors Hall of Fame, and I think former longtime Ankeny Athletic Director Fred Smith was one of the people to introduce one of those inductees. So that was a nice honor for Fred to be able to do that, huh?
You know, it really was. You know, and I know he was excited to be there, and I know that we got to talk briefly before he, presented the honoree that he was there to name, and, you know, he just mentioned that he liked I had the right colors on, wearing some maroon and gold when I saw him, he's a great guy. I know he's back in the area, and I've had the opportunity to talk to him a few times, but that's the other nice part about our profession. It's a challenging one, but I think there's a lot of great support and, you know, just a real tight-knit community of ADs.
Now, is there anything newsworthy that came out of the convention? I mean, did you guys vote on any new rules or laws or anything?
nothing earth-shattering. You know, obviously, I think a topic that comes up every year is football, because I think every year that's, you know, what's that structure look like? Obviously, they just went to 5A a year ago here, and obviously we'll be in year 2 of that 2-year setup. So nothing quite earth-shattering. I know we always kind of talk about what rules, what things we need to look at. Mm. I know one topic that's always up is, you know, obviously, I think officials, obviously there is a decline of officials. I know that, you know, for example, soccer this spring, I already know that there are certain dates that are just blacked out for, we can't reschedule, not because either team may not be open, but there may not be officials available. So trying to figure out how we recruit and retain officials. I know a lot of them that have stepped out have kind of mentioned the treatment is definitely one of them. So I know just trying to, you know, collaborate as ADs and with associations both, and just trying to figure out ways to help recruit and retain great officials.
Well, here's a question about officials. I've played in a long time men's basketball league here in Ankeny, and even they told us this year that they're going to go to like a call-your-own-foul rule league, because the refs that they had, a lot of them didn't want to come back because of the way they were treated by, you know, the players. They don't really have fans at those games. But do you think some of the decline in the officials at the high school level, some of that has to do with the way they're treated by fans?
I do, you know, and it's no fault. I mean, I think it's one of those challenging things, because obviously emotions are high. You know, a lot of people got a strong invested interest in it. And, you know, they're going to make mistakes. I mean, it's not just like anyone else and, you know, the jobs that they do, there's going to be mistakes made. And I just think there's not a lot of, leeway when those type of things happen at times. And so I think that's one thing that's always good to think about is just, you know, they're going to make mistakes. And I think how we treat them and how we react, I think is a real good opportunity for us to show some good resolve and things like that when they come up. And yeah, it's a challenging thing. And, you know, being an official is in a challenging position to be in at times.
Well, I've heard this now a few times about the shortage of officials. And you mentioned the blackout dates. I mean, so how would you describe the shortage? I mean, would you say it's like at a critical stage at this point?
You know, I would say it depends on the sport. I mean, there's some sports that are a lot more challenging than others and certain levels. You know, if you came to some baseball games in the summer, you know, we struggle to get a 2-man crew for lower level games at times, you know, and we're not the only ones having some of these challenges. And it really depends on the sport. Soccer is one, just it's a challenging one. Swimming's an interesting one because there's just not a lot of swim officials out there right now. And, you know, Kerry George, who's a longtime one that we've used for many years here that cover a lot of our things, just retired and, you know, happy for him. But, you know, it's a bum loss for us just because there's only so many out there. So, you know, and I know there's more contributing factors than just treatment too. I think that a lot of the experienced officials are at an upper age now, and there's just not a lot of those in between mid-experience guys. And so, again, I think that comes back to, you know, what can we do to help recruit and retain some of those.
Well, you mentioned that Kerry George just retired. Of course, Ankeny girls swimming coach Michelle Stout just retired. I'm sure you hate to lose her. Boy, what a great career she's had.
You know what? Fabulous. Over 20-some years here in Ankeny, and what a great job she's done over the years with this program. And, you know, when she came in, I was nervous. That's what she wanted to meet about. And, you know, I selfishly wanted to try to talk her out of it, but, you know, out of respect for her and, you know, all the years that she has put in for the program, I didn't feel like that was fair to her. And I wanted to respect her decision. And, we're working on, you know, trying to find that replacement now. And that won't be an easy one. Those are big shoes to fill. But, you know, anytime you lose a great coach like Michelle, anytime, whether it's retirement or, you know, moving on to different positions, you always hate to lose great coaches. And, you know, so trying to keep those good coaches around when you have the opportunity to is where I got to put the focus at.
Well, she's built such a strong program. I'm sure you won't have any shortage of candidates that are interested in that position.
I think the program's in a great spot for somebody to hop in there. And, I can't remember how – I think we're talking 8-plus straight trips to state. And, most of them are place finishers at state as well. So, yeah, definitely in a great position there. Just like I said, opportunity for somebody to come in.
All right, Andy. Well, hey, appreciate that you come in tonight. Enjoyed the conversation. Thanks a lot.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me. And thanks for all you do promoting everything here in town. All great things, Ankeny. Appreciate you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. I'm going to be heading to New Orleans on Friday this weekend for the Final Four. Looking forward to that. And I'm not sure if we'll have a podcast next week or not, as I won't get back until Tuesday. But I am hoping to chat with a special guest this weekend down in New Orleans. So if that works out, and I'll see who else I can find down there, might be able to put together a podcast while I'm down there. So anyway, come back next week for that. If it doesn't work out, then come back in 2 weeks for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.